We're there. Okay, so we're continuing in our series of what we believe, and we're at why and how should I read the Bible? Now, I'm not sure how well I fulfilled that brief, but I hope that what I share this afternoon is going to be helpful. And, you know, if it's not, we can answer that question over tea and coffee and biscuits in a bit. But someone once told me that a good preacher tells people what they're going to say, says what they're going to say, and then tells people what they've said. And I'm aiming to be a good preacher this afternoon. So I am going to tell you that scripture is God's word. Do you know what? Before that, let me just say these are the scriptures that I've been looking at and thinking about, meditating and asking God to talk about. So I will read most of them during the sermon. But if you wanted to kind of know where this stuff's coming from, then have a look at that or ask me for them afterwards. So I'm going to tell you that scripture is God's word, that it is active, and that it reveals Jesus Christ. And that because those two things are true, we have a responsibility to interpret scripture, to translate it, and to share it. Okay, so the scriptures that I've read and that we're going to read a little bit of this afternoon tell us these things. But I think also our experience probably tells us these things too. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." Now, when Paul was writing that, the Bible as we know it had not been compiled and canonized. He was referring to the things that would become our Bible, our scriptures. But the distinction Paul makes is a really important one. He says there are words written and spoken and heard that are purely of human origin. They are from human beings. And they may well speak about God. They might not. They may point us to God, or they might not. But they are different from the words that are written, spoken and heard and that come from God and God alone. And so we need to kind of work out, how do we recognize which words are from God and which ones are of human origin? Well, Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." 2 Timothy 3 verses 15 and 16 puts it this way, "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Holy Spirit." And so I want to suggest to you that we recognize God's words because they are alive and active, because they teach us and train us in the way of salvation found in Jesus Christ, and because God's Holy Spirit helps us discern and recognize them. Because you see, it is possible to read the Bible and be unmoved by it. It's possible to be blinded to the truth within it. And that's true for Christians and for non-Christians. Sometimes we are deaf to God's word to us. And I'm certain that scripture is God's word, and I'm certain that it is alive, active, and powerful. I know that it changes people, inspires people, and that it teaches people, because I've seen it do those things in my life and in the life of others. But I also know from my own experience that reading scripture doesn't always have that effect. So I want to affirm again that scripture is God's word, that it is alive and powerful. But I also want to stress that our approach to scripture has a big bearing on how much we hear and how we respond. And we're going to come back to that a little bit more, because I also want to affirm the other foundational truth about scripture, and that's that scripture reveals Jesus Christ. At the beginning of John's Gospel, as John's already told us, Jesus is referred to as the Word. Okay? Scripture is Word with a little W. Jesus is the big W, Word. Because Scripture is God's Word that reveals Jesus Christ as the Word of God. And so Scripture is not just powerful, inspiring words that motivate us, and perhaps they motivate us to be kind, generous, pious. Whatever they might motivate us to, the truth is that Scripture points us to Jesus as our Saviour and as our Lord and King. And so Scripture points to Jesus as being one with God from the very beginning of time and forevermore. And so the reason that we want to read Scripture is that we can learn more about Jesus, that we might draw nearer to Jesus, that we might become more like Jesus. You see, I think we should read Scripture in order that it might direct our conversations with Jesus and our conversations about Jesus. We read Scripture that we might learn what pleases Jesus and learn how to worship him appropriately. Have I laboured the point enough about Scripture being about Jesus? Now, I don't know if I've convinced you, or indeed if you needed convincing, but all that follows from that, and all that I'm going to say now, is based on that conviction, that Scripture is active and that it is designed to reveal Jesus Christ as Lord. And so I say Scripture must be interpreted, translated, and shared. Now, Scripture has to be interpreted because all words have to be interpreted. Now, we don't think about that much when we're speaking to someone in a shared language. It becomes much more obvious when you talk with someone who doesn't share the same language as you. But even across cultures, we sometimes need to interpret things. So, for example, and if an American says to you they're putting their pants on, buying candy, or enjoying a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you're going to need to do a bit of interpreting to really understand what it is they're telling you. And so too, I think, with the Word of God. Because we have to learn to speak God's language in order to understand what Scripture is telling us. So for this, we need the Holy Spirit and the right attitude. You see, we will get ourselves in trouble if we approach Scripture with an attitude that says, I know what that means. I know what I need to do about that. You see, actually, we need to come with an attitude that says, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what is being said. Help me know what I must do in response. And so I suggest that actually we start learning to approach Scripture as a conversation starter between ourselves and God, and between ourselves, God, and each other. Because Scripture doesn't tell us everything. It does tell us everything we need to know, but it doesn't tell us everything. And the truth is that we're prone to distort and misinterpret Scripture when we make it our servant. That is to say, when we try and use Scripture for our own purposes. Because actually, Scripture is for God's purposes. Scripture is to reveal Jesus Christ and to change hearts and minds. In fact, I think probably you could put all of Scripture into one or two or both of these categories. It's for revelation and it's for judgment. It either reveals Jesus Christ or it judges us and says, actually, this is who you are and this is how you stand up or don't before God. But however you view Scripture, I have to say, it's definitely not a handbook telling us what to do. And it's certainly not a manual that we use to tell other people what to do. Because if we go back to that scripture from 2 Timothy 3, it says, all of Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, Scripture should teach us and train us. It helps us to be righteous and to do good works. And at this point, I just want to say, those good works are not in order to earn salvation. They are good works because we are saved. But what I take from that is that Scripture primarily speaks to me and changes me. If I haven't let it do that first, I have no right to tell other people about Scripture and what it means. So for the servants of God, it trains us, it teaches us, it rebukes us. But I think for those who are not yet followers of Jesus, it's for revelation. The scripture is to point people to Jesus. And once you know Jesus, it teaches you how to respond appropriately. And so there are other points I want to make this afternoon, so I want to just summarise that as this. Scripture has to be interpreted so that we can hear what God wants to say, so that we can rightly discern its purpose and recognise that sometimes that specific purpose might change according to person and place and time. What God says through his word might say something different at a different time. So I can read scripture and I can know that I've read it hundreds of times before, and I come to it and I read it and it says something different. Not different as in opposing, but different as in new and fresh. And it speaks to me in a way that it didn't speak the last time I read it. So we have to read scripture because we want to know what God says, not so that we can work out what. Not so that we can make God's word say what we want it to say. That's really important, isn't it? Scripture is about what God wants to say to us, not about what we want to hear. There is a specific purpose for scripture, and we need to discern that correctly. And I also want to say at this point, there are various tools available to help us interpret scripture correctly. Things that help us understand about the different genres that are in the Bible. So songs and poetry do something different from stories and letters. Law is a different category than a prophecy. Okay, they do different things. So there are various tools that we can use to help us interpret and understand what was written. But the only and the best trustworthy interpreter of God's word is the Holy Spirit. And that's all that, the Holy Spirit is the only one you need in order to read scripture and hear God speak. So if you can do the interpretation with, you know, Bible commentaries and all sorts of fancy stuff, great. But the Holy Spirit is the person who has to interpret God's word to us. But you see, God's word is not only to be interpreted, it also has to be translated. And it has to be interpreted before it can be translated. So we've got to get the order right. But me, you, I, we have benefited from the translation work of others, haven't we? There's so many different English translations available to us. And if the scripture was still in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, few of us, if any, would understand a word of it. People have faithfully translated God's word, and I'm really, really grateful they have. And there are huge numbers of people who currently don't have any scripture at all in their own language. And there are many who are working to change that. And I'm really grateful for them doing that work. But I think the work of translation goes a little beyond translating between languages. And it's closely linked to the work of interpretation, but I think slightly different. But I want to tell you a story. I've got a friend who works with Wycliffe. That's a charity that is involved in translating the Bible into different languages. And they were telling me about this difficulty in translating the verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. That's the one that says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." And they said to me, "How do you translate that in a language where people don't know what snow is? They don't have a word for snow in their language because they don't know what snow is. They've never come across it before." You see, work has to be done to understand what a verse means and then find a suitable expression in a language to convey that meaning. And I'm again sure that you all realise that words change their meaning through time and culture. Being gay in the 1920s meant something quite different from being gay today. Unbelievable might mean something is really hard to believe, or it might mean it's something amazing. The meaning is often defined by the context and the speaker. And so once we've interpreted God's word and we've understood what God is saying with the help of the Holy Spirit, we then have to translate it into words and phrases that convey that meaning to other people. So having a conversation with someone, doing a Bible study, giving a sermon, they may all be acts of translation, or they may involve the work of translation. And yes, this definitely has to have the help of the Holy Spirit if it's going to be effective. But the point is, we need people to take God's word, to have understood what God is telling us through it, and then to convey that meaning effectively to us. And so the final, kind of the main point, I think, about Bible translation that I really want to make clear is, when we translate God's word, it's still God's word. Yes? We don't take ownership of it. We don't change it. We don't kind of do anything with it other than make it accessible to somebody else. It's still Jesus Christ who's revealed through that word. And it's still God's power and authority that changes someone's heart. We don't have any control over those things. So, for example, I can tell someone about Jesus, but it's going to be the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus to them. And I can succinctly and with passion share God's word, but it's not going to take any effect if the Holy Spirit is not at work changing hearts and minds. And so I want to say that we partner with God in the work of translating his word, but we don't have control over it. And we've got to be really careful not to try and make God's word our word. It's God's word, and it's alive precisely because it belongs to God and comes from God. And so I want to finish with this. Because God's word is alive and active, and because it reveals Jesus Christ, we're required to share that word. We are to pass it on. So in the scriptures that we've read, people learned and were convinced of the words they'd heard. They received them, and the word was at work within them. Here's verses from Romans 10, 8 to 15. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. And if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. God certainly can and does speak in a variety of ways. So, for example, God speaks in dreams. He can speak via angels. He speaks through people, as well as speaking through scripture. But the fact that God has many ways of speaking to people doesn't absolve us of that responsibility to share God's word that has been received by us. We receive it so that we can give it out and share it with others. Because scripture has power and it reveals Jesus. So it's kind of pretty obvious that we should allow it to do those things, yes? So I guess what I'm saying is the Bible is not just for Christians. It's for everybody. We need to get the word of God out there so that people are hearing it and that they are learning about Jesus and that they are being changed. Now, I don't know, but you probably are aware of the Gideon's Charity. They used to put Bibles in all sorts of places, hotel rooms, hospitals, prisons, schools. They may well still do that. And it's really, really excellent work. But I'd like to encourage us this afternoon to think and pray more broadly than just simply putting a Bible in someone's hand. Because the Bible is a compilation of stories and songs, laws and letters that were written across centuries and cultures. It's not just one thing. And some of it can be pretty complicated and disturbing. I dare you to read some of the passages in Judges and not be horrified. Simply reading the Bible does not necessarily reveal Jesus or change hearts. And therefore, what we really need to be doing is working with the Holy Spirit to discern how we say, share and what we say in each context and with each person. So sharing God's word may well mean standing on the street corner and preaching. But it might also mean a card with a scripture verse and a message given to your neighbour or a friend. It might mean praying scripture over someone or answering a question with wisdom from scripture. Sharing God's word might mean reading a story from the Bible with your grandchildren or a friend. It might mean a social media post or a poster in the window. Sharing scripture can be done in many ways. And I invite you this afternoon to talk with God and be open to the ways in which God might be asking you to share the scriptures with others. And I just had a little kind of moment where I realised that at least twice in Scripture, footwear is linked with sharing the good news. So in Ephesians, when Paul's talking about the armour of God, he writes, "We should have feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." And in Romans, he quotes Isaiah when he says, "Beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And I just wondered whether maybe the link between feet and sharing the good news could help us understand about how we need to be active in that endeavour. Sharing God's word often involves some sense of going, of being sent, of having to move from one place to another. And so I would encourage us not to hold on to God's word as a comfort blanket that keeps us warm and safe, but actually to move from taking the security that we have in God's word and God's promises and sharing that with others. Let it motivate us to get out and share God's word with those that we meet. So hopefully what you've heard this afternoon is that Scripture is God's word, and because it's God's word, it is alive and active and reveals Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And I hope you've also heard that that truth places upon us a responsibility to interpret God's word faithfully, that we learn to hear what God is saying and not what we want to hear. And we have the responsibility to translate God's word, not just into other languages, but also in ways that allow God's word to remain God's word rather than a tool for our purposes. And finally, we have that responsibility to share God's word, to share it widely so that all may hear and have the opportunity to respond. And I pray that the Holy Spirit helps us to do that wisely and effectively.
Thank you.